Good morning, everybody. I am delighted to be here today to share God's word with you. It's a wonderful privilege to minister to our own church family. And you people mean a great deal to Isabel and me, trust me. 2 days ago, my wife and I celebrated 33 years since we came to Canada. 33 years. And for most of that time, Lambrick Park Church has been our community. And we're so thankful to God for all that you mean to us. And we appreciate your prayers so very, very much. And we're, as you know, in this summer series, we're talking about prayer. And I just thought you'd be interested, because some of the most moving and special times of prayer I've ever been in have been prayer times with little children. You ever heard children pray? They can be really discerning and really in touch with God, trust me. And I thought you'd like to hear two short prayers. Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all of everybody in the world. There are only 4 people in my family, and I can never do it. Then the little guy who prayed, dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with my brother Larry. Now, that's got absolutely nothing to do with the message today, but I just thought you would like to hear that, okay? And we're going to be touching Psalm 23 this morning. And if you have a Bible with you, I'd love you to open it up at Psalm 23. And as you've been learning in this wonderful series, we're learning something about taking those Psalms as a basis for prayer and sort of praying them back to God, communing with God through these wonderful parts of His Word. And Psalm 23 is a very wonderful psalm for doing that very thing. This, I don't know if you are aware of it, but many people call Psalm 23 the Scottish National Anthem. It's part of the Scottish Psalter that was brought together when the Psalms were set to music in the year 1605. So it's been going for a long time. I've used to singing Psalm 23 to the tune of Crimond. Anybody here know the tune Crimond? One person. Well, or 2 people. We're not going to sing a trio today. Simon said he's going to compose a tune for Psalm 23. So we'll wait for that with great anticipation. Anyway, we're going to read it together right now. So let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the word of the Lord, and I pray that it will really feed us in our innermost beings this morning. The key phrase of Psalm 23 is, I shall not want. That's the key phrase. In other words, the psalmist is saying, if the Lord is my shepherd, then it follows that I will lack nothing. Every area of my life will be affected by His presence and His amazing provision. Lena used a word this morning when she was talking to us that I heard last week as well as I was praying over this psalm. And it just it's something that's very important in the psalm. And the other day I was listening in my car radio, and I was listening to Dr. Charles Stanley, and he used this word. He wasn't speaking about Psalm 23. I don't know which portion he was speaking from, I'll tell you the truth right now. But he used this word, intimacy with God. And that has been very much on my mind and heart as I've been preparing this message in recent weeks. And I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, there is no greater, more, here, are you listening? There is no greater or more exciting experience that can ever happen to anybody in all the world than to experience intimacy with Almighty God. It is a most amazing thing that God, the creator of the universe, should want to have fellowship and communion with somebody like me and with you as well. And this intimacy with God is a tremendous discovery that anybody can make. Now, when you make this discovery and God reveals the reality of it to your mind and your heart, let me illustrate it like this. When you read the opening phrase of this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," I don't know Hebrew, but those who do tell me this, that the word is not really there in the original language. What the psalmist is saying is an expression of surprise. "The Lord, my shepherd?" And what's your reaction? Wow. It's not in the book, that, but that's the amplified version, you know. "The Lord, my shepherd." Wow, that's an amazing thing. That Almighty God should be my shepherd, that I can know intimacy with him. The other thing we need to say about that opening phrase is this. The word "Lord," as Scott has pointed out to us several times recently, is in capital letters. And that means he's talking about Jehovah. The Lord, Jehovah. It's a sort of personal name for God. When you go to Exodus chapter 3, you remember when God's sending Moses to speak to the people of Israel and he's going to deliver them out of the bondage they'd been in for about 400 years. And the Lord says, "I've seen the affliction of my people in Egypt. I'm aware of their suffering. I've heard their cry." And listen to this. God says, "I have come down to deliver them. I have come down to deliver them." Ladies and gentlemen, isn't that an amazing picture? It's exactly what God did for you and me in the person of the Lord Jesus. He knows about our suffering. He knows about our world. He knows about our pain. And God says in his Son, "I have come down to deliver you." And then when Moses was having this dialogue with God, Moses says, "Well, if you're going to send me to bring the people out of Egypt, who will I say is sending me?" And we have that wonderful phrase, "Tell them, I am is sending you." God says, "I am that I am, the eternal one, without beginning, without end, the Almighty, the creator of the universe." Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Almighty God, and you and I can be intimate in our walk with him. Somebody say amen, please. That is an amazing truth, is it not? It's a wonderful concept. And it was Professor J.I. Packer who says, "God is transcendent over and immanent in his world. Although he is the Almighty, the great one, the great God who is transcendent over all his creation, and yet he is immanent in his world." It is my prayer this morning that everyone in this congregation will go out of this place with a deeper sense of what God has made available to us because he came down to deliver us, because of who he is. And this is the one who says to you today, and you can respond this morning, "The Lord, my shepherd." Wow. You're getting the message, guys. Well done. That's brilliant. Now, when we think about that, well, let's take it on now. If that is all true, and it is, if that is all true, we move on to think about what that means. And I want to show you something that I find extremely interesting. There are various titles for God given us in his word. And every one of them, seven of them, every one of them is mentioned in this psalm or is illustrated in this psalm. For example, in verse 1, Jehovah Ra, the Lord, my shepherd. Now, we've touched on that already, and I want to come back to it later in the message. The second one is also in the first verse. I shall lack nothing. I shall not want. Jehovah Jireh. Now, to get the where that occurs in the Word of God, you have to go to the book of Genesis in chapter 22, and that's where God, having given Abraham the promised son Isaac, asks Abraham, testing him, if he would offer that son up to God as a sacrifice. And Abraham, in obedience to God, went ahead to do exactly that. Now, we know, if you know Genesis 22, that God stopped him at the last moment. And God provided a ram that was caught in a bush nearby that was able to be offered as a substitute for Isaac. And through that experience, Abraham, the great man of faith, the man who believed, the Bible tells us, he so believed and trusted God that he believed that God could have raised his son from the dead again. But in that experience in Genesis 22, Abraham calls the place, he says, this is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord, my provider. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, every area of your life, whatever it be, it comes under his care and his protection. And I love the promise that God gives us in Hebrews chapter 13, where God says there, make sure your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, I will never forsake you. Where are you at this morning? Do you feel a great need in your life in some department? Are you here this morning and there's anxiety in this area? You can begin to pray this part of the psalm back to God today, right now. Lord, you are my shepherd. Your promise is that I lack nothing. Thank you for all that I have. I surrender everything I am and have back to you, Lord, believing that you will care for every need in my life. Hallelujah. Dear friends, today, wherever you're at, you can trust him. But then when we move on, we come to verse number 2, where it says there, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. If God is my shepherd, and because of that I will lack nothing, then I can enjoy every day, I can enjoy what the Bible calls the peace of God that passes all understanding. And here we're talking about Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom, God who is our peace. And when the Bible uses that word Shalom, it's not talking about peace in the absence of conflict. It's talking about total wholeness. The person you are meant to be in fellowship and harmony with your Creator. And to find and to study this particular name for God, we can go to the book of Judges. In chapter 6, where we got the experience of Gideon. Now, when you meet Gideon in that passage, he's living in fear. He's living in terror. His nation has been overrun by the Midianites, and the enemy is all around him. And in fact, he's beating out some grain where they normally press wine, grapes for wine, in order to hide it from the enemy so they can help feed his family. And in that very moment, God speaks into his life. And God says to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. I get a bit of a kick out of that passage because whatever Gideon felt, he didn't feel a mighty man of valor. And then God made it worse. He says, Gideon, go in this strength of yours. I'm going to use you to deliver your nation from the Midianites. And Gideon's saying, Lord, I ain't got no strength. Right at this moment, Lord, I feel desperately weak. I'm filled with fear. How can I handle this? And without going into all details, because we haven't got time, but God demonstrated his power and his care for Gideon right there in that very incident. And Gideon called that place, Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. Listen to me, people. Do you ever wake in the middle of the night and all of a sudden you feel overwhelmed with worry and anxiety? There are a few heads nodding. Yeah. It happened to me just the other night. I woke about 3 o'clock in the morning, and something that we're, Isabel and I, are thinking about right now, and I was just overwhelmed with a sense of anxiety and fear. And you know what? This came to my mind in the middle of the night. Amen? Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. And I said, Lord, right there at 3 o'clock in the morning, praise you, Father. You're in control. You're my shepherd. I give it all to you. And I want to tell you people, and I'm not kidding you, the peace of God came to my heart right there. I want to tell you, I keep saying this to people all over the place. Just do it. Do you know? Just do it. He says to praise him. He says to trust him. He says take him at his word. Just do it, people, because he is our peace. Amen. Allow him to be that. Allow. Now we'll develop that a little bit more as we go along. Walking by the green pastures and by the quiet waters. Doesn't it sound wonderful? In relation to 21st century life, it sounds absolutely amazing. But hey, listen, if the Lord is my shepherd, it's available to me. It's available to me. And then we go on to verse number 3, where it says, He restores my soul. He restores my soul. This reminds us of the name of God, Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. Now, you go back to the book of Exodus for this one, in chapter 15, verse 26, and there God says to his people Israel, if you walk in my ways and you obey my commandments, etc., I will make sure that none of the diseases that plague your enemies will fall on you. I'm going to protect you in that way. Now, when we come to Isaiah chapter 53, it tells us there in verse number 5, I'm just going to read it for you right now. It says there in verse number 5, He was pierced through for our transgressions. This is speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon Him. And by His scourging, or by His stripes, we are healed. Now, people, I know that some people claim that to be for physical healing. I knew of one person in this congregation whom the Lord made that a particular blessing to when she was going through a particularly health trial and challenge. And God has brought healing, and we praise Him and we rejoice, do we not? But God doesn't always heal everybody. You know that, and I know that. But what is he saying then? Well, to get the real point in this, if we go to the New Testament and 1 Peter and chapter 2, we read some amazing words there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and down about verse number 24. That's 2 Peter. No wonder I can't find it. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24 or thereabouts. He says, let me read a little section here. It says, For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. I had an email just the other day from a very dear friend of mine in England, and he has recently had the privilege of helping a friend of his come to faith in the Lord Jesus. And this friend, his life has been so transformed since he came to know Christ. This man was in total bondage to alcohol. His life was a mess. He was spending the equivalent of $1,200 a month on booze. And he was in a real mess. But his testimony now is that since he came to know Christ, he has been healed from the inside out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am not talking about an alcoholic being reformed, okay? I'm not talking about that. That does happen. I'm talking about a dead man being made alive. I'm talking about a dead man being made alive, dead in his sin one moment, alive in Christ the next, and wonderfully transformed as a result. Ladies and gentlemen, this is part of knowing the Lord as your shepherd. If you know him personally, if you know him as reality in your own life, then you can say, by his stripes, I have been healed. I am a new creation in Christ. You can take Paul's language in Philippians chapter 3, where he talks about his new ambition in life, his new focus, that I might know him, that I might be intimate with him and walk with him. And in the course of all that, he says, what does that mean? It means I can forget those things that are behind and I can move on now. Now, it doesn't mean you just never think about the past anymore. You look back on it when God has forgiven your sin and you've come into relationship with him, you've come to know him as your shepherd. You can think about all these past things, but you can think of them now in a position of freedom. Amen? They're gone. Gone forever. Forgiven. Taken away. Never to be brought up against you again. Knowing that glorious freedom, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. Today, do you feel you need to pray this to the Lord? Do you need to come to the Lord today saying as we go over these things, Lord, I need your provision. Lord, today, I need your peace. Lord, today, I need that inner healing as you restore my soul into the relationship with you for which I was created. When we move into the next part of verse number 3, it says, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You find more about what that one means when you go to the prophecy of Jeremiah in chapter 23. And it was at a time when God was rebuking his people because their shepherds, those who were supposed to be giving them guidance and leadership, they are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, God says. And then he goes on later in the chapter to talk about this amazing thing. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved. Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. My dear friends, today, that is an amazing thing. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 that when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Shepherd, he is made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In other words, everything you could possibly need, he will be that to you. Amen? He will be that to you. And when we're in that relationship with Jesus, he is the shepherd who really cares. John's gospel tells us he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. He goes on ahead of them. Praise God for that. In Israel, when the shepherd was caring for the sheep, he went on ahead. They followed along behind. They knew that every need was being met and cared for. They were being led in paths, in right paths. The Word of God tells me in Proverbs chapter 3, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Amen? He will guide you. My dear friends, do you need to lead guidance in your life right now? Are you seeking God's will about some particular issue? This is what He wants to be for you today. He wants to do these things and lead you in paths of righteousness. Then in verse number 4, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Jehovah Shammah, the Lord ever present. The Lord ever present. For this one, you need to go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 48, when Ezekiel had that tremendous vision of the temple and the city that were going to be built. And it says right at the very end of that chapter that the place would be called Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. The Lord is there. Notice, people, what it says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, it's already been mentioned today that people in this room right now may very well be going through tremendous trial. Sorrow and grief, loneliness, etc. I just want to point out to you today, while these things are very, very real, it says in the Word here, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, what that means for us, when the Lord is my shepherd, I need to get a hold of the fact that death has been destroyed. When Jesus went to the cross and He rose again from the dead, He destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And He delivered those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Ladies and gentlemen, these things are very, very real. They're very real. But listen to me, people. We can go through them, but we go through the valley of the shadow of death. When the Lord is your shepherd, it's a dark time. But as the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, the shadow of a dog can't bite you. Amen? The shadow of a dog can't bite you. And these trials are difficult, they are hard, they are deep-seated, they are very, very difficult. But praise God, today we have, as we know the shepherd, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Dear friend, wherever you're at right now, if you know Jesus as your Savior, it is guaranteed He is there. Open your heart to Him right now. Open your heart to Jesus right now. Lord, thank You. Nobody else understands. I'm going through a desperate time. Like the old lady who lost her husband. And some well-meaning Christian was saying, "Well, dear sister, don't worry, the Lord is with you." She said, "I know that, but He doesn't play dominoes." Isn't that real? It's lonely. These times are hard. But I want to encourage you from God's Word this morning, my friends. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord ever present. And I just want to encourage you today to lift your heart to Him who is your shepherd. Open your heart to Him. Say, "Lord, just fill me with Your presence today. Invade my life, Lord, with Your presence today." Then the last one in verse 5, he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my banner. You get that one in Exodus chapter 17, where after the Lord had miraculously provided water for His people, they had seen the provision of the Lord. The next thing it says, "Then came Amalek." Then came Amalek. Amalek in the Bible is a wonderful picture of the old sinful nature that you and I battle with every day. King Saul was asked by God in 1 Samuel 15 to destroy the Amalekites, to get rid of them altogether. He refused to do that completely. He preserved what he felt was the best of the Amalekite stuff. My dear friends, today, you and I, as we battle things in our lives, listen to what the New Testament says. If by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The deeds of the body. We had a time here a few weeks ago when we're talking about the challenge of stuff like pornography and all this kind of thing, and all the old sinful nature. The temptations that come into our lives. The enemy is busy all the time in our experience. And dear friends, today, the Lord is your banner. Amen? Jehovah Nissi. He is your banner. And God's will for you, whatever that thing is that's bugging your life today, the only way to deal with it is it must be destroyed. Amen? It must be destroyed, repented of, put out of your life completely, absolutely, ruthlessly deal with sin. Amen? Deal with it ruthlessly and let God come invading your life with his forgiveness and his renewal, etc., and setting us free. The Lord is your banner. He will bring you through in a victorious way. He will be your victory. Now, time is running away as it always does, but I want to just finish with this thought. We started this morning by thinking, the Lord, my shepherd. This is the Lord we're talking about. He can be all these things in your life and mine every day that we live. So that goodness and loving kindness will follow us all the days of our life, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. That is the hope of the one whose life the Lord is their shepherd. Now, if we're going to apply all that to our hearts and our lives today, I'd like to remind you just three very simple things. Jesus is described in the New Testament, number one, as the good shepherd. John chapter 10. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ died on a cross in your place and mine so that we could enter into relationship with him and he could become my shepherd. Amen? Then in Hebrews chapter 13, we read there about Jesus being the great shepherd of the sheep, who rose from the dead. That's what the context is in the Hebrews 13. The living shepherd, the one who is alive. Listen to me, people. All these things that we've been talking about today, as when Jesus is our shepherd, are real because when you know him, he's living on the inside of you by his Spirit. He's living resurrection life inside you and through you every day that you live. Romans 5:10 says that if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? If there's anything I'm excited about today, it's the fact that knowing the Lord as my shepherd means that he is living his life on the inside of me right at this moment. Hallelujah. Nobody's doing the two-step, Simon, but we ought to be. Amen. That is so amazing. Jesus living on the inside of me and on the inside of you. And then finally, in 1 Peter in chapter 5, we read these words about the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd, where it says this, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfailing crown of glory. He's coming back again. He's the one who died for you. He's the one who lives for you. He's the one who's coming back for you one day. Is that your hope today? There's a very simple thing I'd like to leave with you. When we come to know him, our faith is in fact, okay? This isn't just religious mumbo jumbo, dear friends. We have the fact God, the Creator, who came down to be among us in the person of His Son, who died for us on a cross, who rose from the dead. These things are facts. These things are facts. There are every reason for us to trust Him. When I put my life in His hands and I trust Him as my personal Savior and Lord, then the feeling, the reality of it all will be my experience. Amen? It will become, but you take your faith and you've got faith in nothing, then you'll never get anywhere. But when our faith is in these facts of who He is and what He's done for us, praise His wonderful name, He will be real. The Lord, my shepherd. Wow. I really pray that He is. And that this week you'll pray your way through Psalm 23 in a new way. And I can't think of any more wonderful way to draw this to a conclusion than we should take bread and wine and remember Him. That we come to the cross today. We come to the place where we're right at the heart of it all, where Jesus died in our place, and He took our sin in His own body on the cross. And we come and remember Him. And right now, as we take this bread and we take this wine, you can take that as an act of faith today. Maybe you're not sure whether Jesus is your shepherd or not. You can take an act of faith as receiving Him to yourself, that He might be real in your experience every day. Now, let's just bow in a moment of prayer. Lord, we bow in amazement in Your presence this morning. We bow to just worship You, to bless Your name, that it's possible for us today to say with reality, with conviction, with certainty, the Lord, my shepherd. Oh God, I just pray today that this will become more real for all of us than it has ever been in our lives before. Thank You, Father, that we can come to the cross this morning and remember the Lord Jesus and take bread and wine and partake of it, of those things, and just remembering what He did for us on the cross. Fill us, Lord, today with profound gratitude as we thank You for the privilege of remembering Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.